Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. In today's episode, we're diving into the world of ADHD through the lens of Tyler Mitchell. Tyler is a strategy consultant, and as you'll hear him say, he doesn't even know what that is, a husband, a father of five, and a passionate advocate for awareness around ADHD and the workplace. If you're active on LinkedIn at all, you may have come across Tyler's thoughtful and popular posts. As we all know, adulting is hard enough, but throw in ADHD and it's a whole nother can of worms. Tyler addresses these challenges with compassion, empathy, honesty, and some humor. In our conversation today, Tyler shares what it was like to be diagnosed with ADHD as an adult and how that moment shifted and revealed everything for him. He opens up about the emotional side of things and what he's discovered about himself, especially what it's like for men who've spent years pushing through without support or answers, and how he's become someone that other men reach out to for an empathetic ear. So listen today to hear us explore themes that people really need to be talking about: the pervasive stigma around ADHD, the generational pressures that discourage emotional vulnerability, and the powerful impact of understanding one's own neurodivergent brain. Tyler candidly discusses how his diagnosis helped him unravel years of anxiety, depression, and self-doubt, and how he's now using social media to create a supportive community for others. Tyler's story highlights the importance of self-awareness, empathy, and breaking down these outdated masculinity stereotypes. His mission is to normalize these conversations about ADHD and show that seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. I love it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, Tyler, welcome to Focus Forward.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. So could you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, Tyler Mitchell. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. Have five kids and stay pretty busy. My day job is strategy consulting. Please don't ask me what that is. I still don't know what it is I do for a living. All I know is I have fun signing into work every day, and there's new challenges all the time. But yeah, that's who I am in a nutshell.
Well, that's awesome. Many people might not know the strategy consultant part of you because they know you as an ADHD-er, an ADHD-er. And that's how we were connected through LinkedIn and the fabulous LinkedIn community surrounding people with ADHD and ADHD coaches. So can you tell me a little bit about your ADHD journey and how you, I know you were diagnosed as an adult. So how'd that happen?
So if I get long-winded, you'll just have to like raise your hand and say, that's enough. So I've kind of floated through careers throughout my life. Wasn't sure what I really wanted to do when I grew up and just kept kind of shifting around. And most of my jobs were pretty labor intensive. So, you know, I'd excel at them and then get a little bored and move on to something different. And we homeschool our kids. So like as we transition through different stages of life, I remember my oldest is our only son. And whenever my wife would bring up anything about our son, I'd be, oh, that's perfectly normal. Don't worry. Like I was just like that as a kid. He'll get past it. And well, as I transitioned to the most recent job I'm at, it's more in front of the computer, work from home. And around the same time, my wife was listening to a book about child development. And she was doing something else when the book finished, and it moved into some of the extra parts of the book. And she's, well, I'm busy. I don't feel like going and pausing the book. So I'll just let it keep playing. And it got into special needs and, you know, how to handle it. And it started talking about autism, ADHD. And she's like, oh my goodness, they're describing our son.
Wow.
And so she came to me and was like, "Hey, this is what I was hearing. What do you think?" And so we researched it a little more, and I have a brother that's an occupational therapist. So I and he specializes with autism and ADHD and some other avenues, but I knew he was definitely in that arena. So I was telling him what we were looking at, and he was like, "Yeah, I've thought for quite a while that your son is autistic." And our son was probably 15 at the time, give or take. And I was like, "Why have you not said something
Right.
before?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "I've seen families destroyed over that news, and I didn't want that to get in the way of our relationship." So I was like, "Well, I'm only concerned about making sure our son has the resources that he needs." And so I started researching it. In the meantime, at my new job, I was struggling. I went from like the smartest guy in the room to what the heck are you doing in the room kind of feel. And since I was working from home and it was during COVID, it wasn't like I could stop somebody by somebody's desk and say, "Hey, I'm struggling with this thing." So I did what most normal people do, is I just sat and watched YouTube videos all day to distract
Right.
myself, stressing out about I wasn't completing the task I was supposed to. And it, because the most sensible thing is to distract yourself
Yes,
from those
let's avoid
stressors. Yeah.
it.
So in the mix of all that, as I'm researching things for my son, I started seeing, oh wait, this is describing me. And so like combination of all that, we had our son assessed, and I decided to go get assessed as well. I didn't get assessed for autism. It probably benefit if I did, because I definitely see those traits, but I was more concerned with the ADHD side of it because of how it was affecting my life. Hindsight, I was going through depression, lots of anxiety, and in a really dark space. And so it was a godsend that it came at that time of my life, because I couldn't take a step back and say, "Hey, there's something else going on." I was just like focused on the things I couldn't do and couldn't accomplish. So fortunately, got my diagnosis around the same time as my son. And he was diagnosed autistic and ADHD. He started getting the care he needed. I got diagnosed with ADHD. I honestly thought it was going to be, once I started researching, I thought it was going to be inattentive. But it was a combined type. So I started on medication. Medication's different for everybody, but it was a tool that worked really well for me. And all those productivity systems that I had tried adopting for decades and would toss because suddenly it wouldn't work for me, I was able to start utilizing. And for the first time since I had started my job, I could sit down, start, finish a task. And when I would notice myself like getting distracted, going down a rabbit hole somewhere, I could actually say, "Hold on, let's step back. Let's accomplish the task." So went through that journey, and it was funny because while I was researching for myself, I had two former coworkers, different facilities that I had worked at. They didn't know each other, but I knew they were ADHD. So when I was researching everything, I had reached out to each one individually, said, "Hey, I'm reading all this stuff about ADHD. Can you tell me the process of as an adult, how all that works?" And each one of them said, "What are you talking about? Like, you're just now figuring out your ADHD. I've known that for years." And I was like, "What are you talking about? I'm not hyperactive. I'm, pretty organized. All these things." And they were like, "You had created systems so you could stay on top of things." And it's like, oh, so that's why I was so insistent on like how I would set things up and why often I would thrive working on my own because I could set up the system that worked for me. And so as I kind of was bringing these worlds into one spot, I fast forward a few years and I decided to start posting on LinkedIn about IT strategy. I figured if anything ever happened with my job, I'd want to have some kind of personal brand already established. So that way, if I was applying for jobs and they looked at my LinkedIn account, they'd see that I was already posting about those things. And unsurprisingly, what they weren't really getting any attention, but that's okay. I was just posting so I could have that topic out there. And I had decided one day to post about my journey of getting diagnosed with ADHD and how that's affected me in the IT strategy consulting world. Didn't mean for it to really be anything profound. It was just kind of like, hey, here's something that is part of my journey. And I had somebody reach out to me on Teams at work, saying, I read your LinkedIn post. Please keep writing about that. And I was like, oh, well, that's the first time anybody's asked me to write again, let alone like paid any attention to my post. So I did a few more posts and along that lines, and I kept having people reaching out to me privately. And it was funny because they weren't interacting with my posts, but they were messaging me, and
Behind the
like they had
scenes.
sent, so they had sent it off to a child that was struggling in college, or they went and got a diagnosis themselves because they're like, I was reading my story in your post. So I, like every typical ADHD person, I dove in all the way and decided to just go on a mission because I realized how many people weren't getting the help they needed because they're generally my age, a little older, middle-aged men generally, that were afraid of getting help or acknowledging that they needed help because of the stigma, which was interesting to me because when I started making those connections, I had no problem with having a diagnosis. I was like, oh, this explains a lot. If anything, I had some anger because of all the struggles I had had, and that if somebody could have recognized it sooner, a lot of
If
that
only.
depression, anxiety, and all those things would may not have happened because of having the right tools. So I started posting more on LinkedIn, started making videos and doing things on TikTok and Instagram, and people kept responding and kept interacting. So I decided just to keep researching how to get the algorithm to play nice, and because I figured if I could get more of a reach, then more people who would need to hear it could hear it. So I'm in a really lucky space in life where I'm my job is supportive of what I do. I post about people being productive at work. So, they can't really complain. And so in between meetings and whatever, and since I don't have to commute to work, I have the time to do the social media posts. And my goal is to, if people recognize the behavior, whether they know they're ADHD or not, or whether they're ADHD or not, that it can spark something and help them. Because you don't have to be ADHD to resonate with my posts.
That's so true.
I try to have it helpful for all walks of life, but it's been really interesting though because I'm a numbers guy. I love analytics. If I can do something with Excel spreadsheet, I'm in heaven. I'll lose track of time, and so I'm constantly running analytics on all my social media platforms. And interactions is predominantly women, 75%, and but it's always men who reach out to me privately, And almost every time, there are people who've never interacted with my post, but they said that they've been reading it for months and how much it's helped them. I had a coworker several months ago that we'd had a handful of interactions because of my posts, that but like definitely not like besties. It'd just be like I met him because of my post, but he called me one day and said, "You've changed my entire family's life. You are family now."
Oh.
And I'm like, I want to cry. So
I
yeah, so
am. Wow.
I had a lot of those moments, especially in the first few months, where I'd walk out with my phone and show it to my wife, and
Look.
I'd have tears in my eyes. I'm like,
Wow.
what's going
Yeah.
on? So I figure I kind of have a responsibility to speak up. So men know that it's okay to have emotions. It's okay if you're having a down day to talk to somebody and to say it out loud. A lot of people don't realize, especially ADHD, undiagnosed ADHD, the suicide rate is really high. And I totally understand that because you see all the success around you, and even if you are successful, all you can really think about is how you're not successful and how tired you are all the time. So I'll pause there, see if there's any direction you want to go from there, because
Well, you answered one of my questions, which was going to be what predominantly who does interact with you and who does respond. And it's so interesting. It's not interesting. It doesn't surprise me at all. Sadly, it doesn't surprise me that it's the men who are privately messaging you. And I really hope that more and more men are listening to this podcast and, or follow you somewhere to see that it is really important to normalize conversations about it, about ADHD, but also just like you said, emotions. Like it's okay to have emotions. I mean, I'm like even as a woman, I'm okay with talking about my emotions, but I have learned, and I think it's because of the ADHD, it is really difficult for me to say out loud how I'm feeling. And usually it's when it has something to do with my ADHD. I mean, I think I can answer this, but I want to hear you say it. What is it about being a boy and about being a man? What are the messages that you got about emotions and then about behavior too, that lead to men having to sort of like hide their interactions with you? And this is also obviously we're generalizing, right? So,
So it's interesting because, like I said, I'm not hyperactive. I do realize, since my diagnosis, I realize how much nervous energy I really do have, but I'd learned to mask it, because anxiety is one of those fun pairings that often goes with it. And so anxiety of having attention drawn to me and all those things, I would usually suppress those feelings. And so I would my a lot of my hyperactive was just inside my head. So if I didn't connect with whatever lesson was going on at school or whatever, I would just disconnect from the situation and wander. It's really interesting because I have fantastic parents. They're very supportive. I'm the youngest of four boys, and even now, like, our family can get together and we're very close, and there's never any drama with my family, which is awesome. But I think a big thing is just the generational thing is taught. Your role is to provide for your family. You better go make a paycheck, and anything that gets in the way of making that paycheck, just suck it up because you need to be a man. And so with a loving, supportive family, that was still the I remember conversations with my dad about frustrations I might have with son. He's like, "You really just need to get over this," and because that's how he was raised to deal with it.
That's right. Yeah.
And interestingly enough, when he retired, he was offered a retirement package a few years early before he had planned on retiring. He actually had a stomach ulcer that he had to get taken care of. And so I'm grateful that he's reflective enough that he recognizes that, like, maybe everybody just sucking it up isn't the best path to go. And when I told my parents that I had been diagnosed with ADHD, my dad's first reaction is like, "Oh, I probably am too, and I probably could have done a lot more with my career if I'd ever had it checked out." So going back to your original question, a majority of the time it's just the generational thing is you don't step outside of the man's role, and anything that is expressing feelings and stuff just means you're being like a woman and stop doing that, and all those cliches. So that's a big part of it. The other thing is there was a lot of stigma with ADHD of it only being those really hyper boys that wouldn't sit still that would just annoy the mess out of everybody because they wouldn't sit still and they'd be really disruptive. So I think there's a lot of stigma associated with that because if you say you're ADHD to your employer, they're like, "Oh, great, I have someone who's gonna say stupid things in front of the customer, who's gonna be distracted and not get their work done." And so you want to kind of keep that in. Those are, and also the if you have ADHD, it means that there's something wrong in your head, and that means you're crazy, and nobody wants to be associated with being crazy. So I think combining all those things is are major reasons that people don't talk about it. And even I know several men who, even after they've realized, "Oh, maybe there's more to this," and they've gone and gotten diagnosis and, excuse me, started on medication and coaching, that they'll still not talk about it publicly. They'll mention to me, like privately, like, "Hey, man, this has been great. I've been getting so much stuff done." And so even when they see the help, but.
We have a well, it's called Motivation and Productivity Program, but it's basically like a community of people who struggle with executive function challenges, and we offer like planning sessions and work sprints and different ways for people with EF challenges to, feel better about the stuff that the work that they're doing. And one conversation that's been coming up a lot lately, or one thing that I'm hearing a lot lately, is and it's been from men, and I don't know if that's coincidental or if it goes along with what we're saying, that they are desperate to connect with other people who have been having this same experience. And they are, I'm trying to think, I think the men that have said that to me are all late diagnosed. And so I think, like, we know you're not alone because we see it on your social media. And I just wanted to share that I also see it in the people that I interact with. They just light up at the idea of connecting with other people that share those struggles, and how validating that is. And whether you're doing that privately or publicly, it is extremely validating.
Men tend to be loners, and so when we are together, our personal struggles aren't something that are normally brought up, and so hopefully that becomes something that's more common to talk about. And
Hey, it's
I did
something you
a
can track. Something you can track on your spreadsheets. If the
exactly.
number of women stays and the number of men goes up.
It's one of the things in my post today, I mentioned somebody else's story that I was reading recently and how it made me think of my own journey on my posting and sharing. And I called out in the post, is like, I am probably oversharing, and I know that makes people uncomfortable because I do get that reaction where if I bring it up, especially in a public place, that there's kind of the, I don't want to hear about this. Like, I'm not sure how to react to this. I was like, but I do it so to try to normalize it.
Me too. I mean, I remember when I was a kid hearing, like, if I knew someone had ADHD, I remember having this feeling like, oh, something's wrong with them. And then I remember when I started thinking, oh, I think I have ADHD, my first thought was, oh, something's wrong with me. But now that I've, really learned, nothing is wrong with me. Nothing is wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with anybody with ADHD. It is so much easier to talk about it and to do that and to normalize it. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show to help me normalize
Yeah.
it. How has ADHD changed, and not maybe not just ADHD, but your whole journey? How has that changed, like, your own definition of masculinity, and how you as a man fit into your family, into the world?
The ADHD is usually associated with hyperactive boys. And so, not wanting to be associated with that, especially as a man, because you want to provide and and all those things. But understanding that ADHD is very nuanced, that there's different types of ADHD has been really helpful. But also understanding that it's a lot more common than we realize has really helped me be more comfortable with myself. So when I am frustrated with something, I pride myself in being pretty level-headed. When there's like contention going on, I'm usually pretty level-headed. It takes a lot to rile me up. But there are times that somebody will make a comment or something will happen that I may not say anything out loud, but it'll freak me out and I'll just beat myself up and I'll cycle through it. And so, as I would struggle with that through the years, I think, why can't I just get over this? Why can't I just, be a man and, get past this and do what I'm supposed to? But after researching about ADHD and figuring out where a lot of things land in my own life, realize that there's a lot of comorbidities or things that go along with it that are quite common. That so rejection sensitivity dysphoria is something that I remember reading it early on, and I just burst into tears when I read about what it was and how it manifests. Because so many interactions in my life that I would beat myself up for days or be really upset at somebody for weeks or whatever. And I'd say, I know I should be over this. Why can't I let this go? And realizing the tie backs to rejection sensitivity, understanding that hasn't made it go away. But as I've had things happen throughout my life and I feel myself reacting a certain way, I can take a step back. So, several months ago, I had posted, and somebody got in my comment section and were yelling at me about stopped posting about ADHD. You're nothing special. All these things, and it was really interesting because one, I'd looked up the person's profile, and they're part of several ADHD support groups. So the person was just having a bad day,
Yes.
and my post
Had
came
nothing to
up.
do with you.
But I knew when I started posting, I was going to start getting people saying negative things. But I'd been really lucky that I hadn't up to that point. And I'd been posting for close to a year at that point. And it's interesting to read something and feel yourself just start to spiral. And with the self-awareness I have on rejection sensitivity, it was almost like I was stepping out of myself, outside myself, and looking in and observing what was happening. As I was ready to go delete all my social media accounts, and like I'm wasting everybody's time. Like I'm embarrassing myself, my family. What was I thinking about doing this? And I was just observing that. And so it was really nice because I still had the emotions, I still had like that feeling, but because I was able to understand what was going on, I was able to come out of it a lot faster. And I actually took a screenshot of the comment, deleted it from my posts, to block the person, and made an entire post about it. And it's one of my highest performing posts. So
Yeah,
I
right on.
actually, I wish I remembered the person's name. I could go back and thank them for
Yes.
for inspiration.
Yeah.
And the post was about rejection sensitivity.
Oh,
I just
perfect.
I wasn't trying to get sympathy out of it. It was just a here is an example
A real life
of that
example.
spiral. Right. And so understanding that part has really helped me in understanding my role and how I view masculinity, and that, and I've been able to point it out with especially men, where even if I don't say something to that person, if I know somebody who is interacting with that person who is spiraling, it'd be like, well, there's a very strong possibility they're ADHD. We can all tell because of what we've seen. And something that's very common is rejection sensitivity. And with the interaction they just had, there's a strong possibility that's what's going on. So it's been able to help be understanding of other people, not reacting so strongly myself because of that person having a
That's huge.
reaction, more along the side of masculinity. Being a provider, it's been huge understanding my spending splurges that I'd go on, like, what is wrong with me? Amazon's been at my house 5 times a day for the last week. What's going on? And realizing some of the coping mechanisms and some of those things, like, oh, you know what? I'm really stressed out right
Yeah,
now.
this is an indicator.
Right. And so to like distract myself from that stress, I'm like hyper focusing on this new thing, this new hobby that's going to be my new personality. Maybe I should take a step back and being able to communicate with my family and just be like, hey, hey, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. There's a lot of noise. Mentioned I've got 5 kids. We homeschool.
It's always a lot of noise, I imagine.
So understanding the overstimulation that can happen. I didn't realize how overstimulated I was. Being at work every day, the lights and the noise and the all those things until I was able to work from home and control that chaos a little bit more. And when I started realizing my sensitivity to, external stimuli, I was able to realize like, hey, one of the reasons why when my family's laughing and having a good old time and I leave the room, is I'm overstimulated right now. And it was difficult for my wife for quite a while because like her upbringing was everybody piles on top of each other and loves each other loud and very strongly, where my family was more quiet and reserved. And so the chaos, I'd leave and she would interpret that as you don't love us and you don't want to be around us. So understanding that overstimulation that was going on, it was like, oh, this is why I keep leaving the room. And so I bought some of those loop earplugs, and I told the family, I was like, I want you guys to understand that you're going to see me put earplugs in occasionally at dinner time. These let me hear you. It just brings the decibels down. Because I was like, I don't want them to not laugh and have a good time and like get like kind of rambunctious. And I know there's a lot of times that me leaving the room would kill the mood. It's not like I was huffing out of the room saying, y'all are crazy. It'd just be, I'd take my plate and I'd leave the room. And but you can tell it'd still kill the vibe. So I put my earplugs in and then I could still be there and be part of it.
I love that.
So that helped me in that side. So all the under those understandings really helps.
When we don't learn the skills to understand what we're experiencing, then we can't figure out why it's happening and what strategy might help. And then also we can't figure out its impact on everybody else and its impact on our experience. So the fact that you have taken the time and that you have the resources to really understand yourself and figure that out, and then also to communicate it to your family in such a way that they understand why you're saying what you're saying, and that it doesn't actually have anything to do with them, and you want them to continue being themselves, and this is how you can fit in. Like, there's so many aspects of that that would not be possible for someone who does not know, because of how they were raised or because of society or whatever, how to examine their emotions without judgment and figure out how can we make a system out of this that works.
Right. And I have to say, that part can be difficult as well, especially for late diagnoses. Because I will periodically apologize to my wife because I'm in this journey of unmasking and figuring out like what's been stressing me out, but I just tried to make normal. I know it was really hard for her over the last few years because the person that she married over 20 years ago, put up with different things and was more social and would do the things that he knew he was supposed to do. And suddenly he was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to that thing because I know it's going to stress me out, or like changing some of my habits. I know that was really hard for her because, she married this one person and suddenly that person was different. And so it took a lot of patience on both sides and communication. And that was a tough road because I'm very lucky that my wife is loving and supportive and wants to understand. But that was a hurdle for her to understand that because she's can understand adolescents changing and, figuring themselves out, but not expecting that of her 40-something-year-old husband,
Yeah, right.
so that was a hard part. Now, when you mentioned being able to express it with the kids, that's been a really fun piece of it, especially since I've been doing so much on social media. They're really good about watching my Instagram reels and things like that, or. I don't do it as much now, but I used to like go and show the family my videos. I'm like, hey, guess what? I just posted this. Now it's kind of
Old news.
normalized, but I've had my kids, especially my oldest two daughters, come and tell me about situations that they've had with their friends that they're like, hey, my friend was struggling with this thing, and I went and did this thing and helped them out, and my friend was so surprised that they were able to get these things done, and I was able to come back and say, you know why that worked? And
Oh, that's so cool.
it's so fun seeing their joy and the empathy that they're having. So instead of just, oh yeah, that's really hard that you're not getting your homework done,
Sucks
you should suck it
to
up.
you.
Right. Especially homeschool, like all of
Oh,
our work
yeah.
is homework. And but seeing them be becoming empathetic and really good human beings from taking those lessons that I've oversharing is I'm really big on almost everything I do in life is hey, I did this thing and I screwed up royally. But here's what I did to fix it, and here's how it turned out in the end, either better or worse. Or there's a lot of mission in my life is helping people not make the same mistakes I did, and especially in the home with my kids.
So you must, I mean, you're seeing that change. You're seeing the results of your hard work in your children. That's beautiful. That's
It's
great.
fun.
Yeah, I love that. So tell me more about, or tell our listeners more about the resources and the what you have created for people, because it's not just posts, you've created things too.
Yeah. I'm on almost all the social media platforms. I'm a little more active at times on certain platforms than others. Just I still have a full-time job, but
Can't do it all.
right. But one of the things I've done recently is created some visual guides. And so since I have so many people reach out to me that are in the early stages of understanding, I wanted to create some guides that would kind of just some initial, hey, here's if you were just diagnosed or you suspect your ADHD, here are some things that can help you. And just took some of the artwork that I use in my LinkedIn posts that are cartoon versions of me showing different things and trying to walk people through that. So I've got a visual guide for if you're just diagnosed with ADHD, now what? Another one that's focused on figuring out how to work with ADHD as a knowledge worker, especially because that was my world. There's so many things to navigate. And another one for leaders, for if they suspect that people on their team are neurodivergent and want to see how they can support them. And that one, I try to sprinkle those into my posts because there's so many times that people don't realize that they're ADHD, autistic, and they don't know what accommodations they need and things that can be helpful. So I try pointing those kind of things out in my posts, and not as a diagnosis criteria kind of thing, but hey, if you notice these kind of behaviors, here are ways that you can support them.
Regardless of a diagnosis, right?
And I started building a course that I want to make available that goes along with the so you were just diagnosed. Because I especially talking with people like you and other coaches or therapists, I'm seeing that pattern of men coming to me privately. Kind of had the light bulb moment of they're coming to me because I am not a healthcare worker. And so, they're not coming to me because they're crazy. They're just, oh, this guy has a lot of similarities. And since they're obviously not comfortable talking to a professional yet, I'm designing the course to be something that they can go in and it's self-paced. There's not going to be any group work or, like there'll be options that they can chat with me, but kind of as an implementation, like I'm in your position. I understand you. Like, let's chat about it. But that's optional. As I want a space that people that the people who know something needs to change, but aren't ready to make that next step, that this could be an easy spot for them to go with. And my goal with that is that by the time they're comfortable with that, they'll have tools that they'll be able to go forward with. And then if they want to start working with a coach or a therapist, that they'll have more words and understanding that they can go to if they desire to do that.
It shows you how powerful that stigma still is for many people, and how I love that because it gives them a way to describe it if they when they are ready to make that leap to see a professional about it, then they have words to describe it, so they're going to feel more confident saying, hey, like this is what's going on. I'm pretty sure it's ADHD because of this, this, and this. And so that's awesome. That's great, Tyler. I love it.
Because one of the things with all the posts, because of the attention span, I am very high level. Like my LinkedIn posts are, hey, here's some productivity things that have helped me. Here's some of the reasons why it may or may not work and why you might need to do it at different stages of life, but here are things that have helped. But people's attention span, I can't go in depth on it. my videos are usually a minute, minute and a half. So I'm wanting with the course
Yeah,
to
I
be
love that.
something where it's like, okay, you're gonna sit down, you're gonna do some stuff, but it's you're ready to move into those next stages. So that way, if you're struggling at work and you just can't get the thing done, you and I've talked about body doubling a little bit. Body doubling is one of those things that's been interesting phenomena for me, because since I'm a loner and I like doing my own thing, I found that if there are times that I'm just struggling getting a task done, I'll get on teams at work. I'll see who's showing green. And since I'm overshare so much, I have a lot of people who understand what's going on. And I'll say, hey, do you have a chance that I can share my screen and just kind of do a working session? And they don't even have to be on the same project as me. And like understanding like body doubling, just something about having another person with you helps you be productive.
It's so true.
And so and I bring that part up because a couple months ago I had a coworker reach out to me, one of the ones who doesn't really interact with my posts but has talked to me on the side. They reached out to me and said, I'm struggling. Can we do a working session? And it was funny because they're like, can we do that thing the thing that helps you like get
That's
things done? And I
oh
was like, body doubling? Yeah, that
yeah,
thing. And
that
they're like, I'm gonna block off like half your day if that's okay, because I have this deadline. And we're 30 minutes into it, and they said, I'm done.
yeah, right
What, what? Yeah.
on.
And it's just fun because of the conversations that we had had. They'd seen my posts,
That's
they'd
really cool.
seen some of those things implemented, that he was like, I did not sleep last night because I was trying to figure out how to get this thing done. And I didn't do anything. Like, he shared a screen and I was doing my own work. I'd occasionally say, yep.
Okay.
And
That's awesome.
so I'm hoping that people have a better understanding of different tools, and it doesn't have to be the same tool every single time,
That's right.
like it's those things.
I'm so glad you mentioned that body doubling, because that MAP program that I told you about, our motivation and productivity, we have these work sprints, which are body doubling sessions, and they are by far our most popular like feature of that program. And I have witnessed that so many times. There's this one woman I remember. She said, "Oh, I have this one thing that I have to do, and I've been putting it off. I normally put these things off for like a month or something like that." And she said, "And I just feel so anxious and guilty about not doing them. It's for work, so she does have to do it." And so we do it. We do our work sprints in Pomodoro. We use Pomodoro timing, so we do a 25-minute work session, then we have a 5-minute break, and then another 25-minute work session. And so at the end of the 25-minute work session, we all check in and we just share like how we're going. If you don't want to stop for the break, you can just keep working. But she stopped and she said, "Guess what? I got one done and I started a second one." And it's so true. There's something about it. I love facilitating those because I get so much done.
I've learned a lot of projects that I'm on that it's really helpful if we do working sessions, and if we can block off longer chunks of time and it not be this big presentation, like all the things, it's just like, let's brainstorm and we can split some work up, but stay on the phone on the meeting and keep going. One thing I have to share about the body doubling thing though is people look at my TikTok account and say, whoa, you've got like a lot bigger following. Like, I'm not in the millions or anything. It's over 10,000, which is still really good. Over half of those are from a story I told about my then 16-year-old daughter, doing body doubling with her friends. And it was just a really sweet story of like she'd said told me that she had watched my videos and remembered, because she remembered there was something she could do to help her friends, and watched my videos, found the one about body doubling, and went and did this with her friend, and they got like weeks worth of work done really quickly. And when I told her, I was impressed that she had done it, and had asked her like how she thought to do it. She's like, "Dad, I'm your biggest fan." And so I went back and watched her video, and I'm having your 16-year-old daughter
That is
tell you that she's your
amazing.
biggest fan. I'm like, I'm over there crying. And
I
so
have
I
a
was just so
16-year-old
excited.
daughter. I know about those. They're not often their biggest. They're not. Yeah, that.
So I really, I sat at my desk and I pulled my phone out. I was like, "Guys, I got to tell you about this."
Yeah.
And like all my polished, scripted videos, like, no, this one like kind of blew up. And
I love that. Your
because it,
authenticity was so moving for people, I'm sure.
So it was fun. It was a concept people weren't familiar with, and but lots of people could understand, relate with a teenager.
Yeah, totally. Oh, well, thank you so much, Tyler. I was counting. I think you made me cry four times. Good job.
Well, mission accomplished, you
Yes.
know.
And I like, even though I'm a woman, I still just related so deeply to so many of the things that you were saying. And I just really hope our listeners, I'm sure our listeners will too.
Thank you.
So how can people find you?
So I'm, like I said, I'm on pretty much every social media platform. You can go to tylermitchell.com, spelled just like my name. And I've got links to all the socials at the bottom. But I post Monday through Friday on LinkedIn. I keep it more work related. And the other platforms, like I said, I'm a little more hit or miss. Threads is another one. I'm daily. That community is a lot of fun. Usually a little more laid back, silly on there, but those are two main ones. But either one, if you look up Tyler Mitchell, you'll probably find my profile
And I'll
pop
put
up.
links in the show notes too. So,
Awesome.
yeah. All right. Well, have a great day, and thanks again, Tyler, for sharing your experience and your wisdom and all the resources and everything that you've created. I bet you the ripple effect of your work is something you will never know. But there's a whole bunch of people out there
Thank
who
you.
were like, oh, thank God I learned that from Tyler Mitchell.
Thank you. I've told people I my hope is in a few years that my posts won't really mean anything because it's so commonplace that it's not a novelty to
I hope
people.
that too.
So,
You'll have to find something else to write about.
and I'm ADHD, so
You will.
I'll always have something.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. I have a couple takeaways from Tyler's story. One is that late ADHD diagnosis can bring both relief and grief. Tyler's story shows that finally having a name for your struggles can be a huge relief, right? But it can also bring up feelings of anger or sadness about all the years that we've spent feeling misunderstood, unsupported, or stuck in shame. I've heard this story from so many people who were late diagnosed, including myself, and so I really hope that you feel validation today if it's your story too. My second takeaway is that men with ADHD often suffer in silence, but they're hungry for connection. And this was shown by how many men relate to Tyler, but often only feel comfortable reaching out privately. His openness gives others permission to do the same, regardless of gender, and shows how important it is to normalize this openness. Please check the show notes for all the links to Tyler's content. I am so happy to have been able to share his story with you all. If you are wondering if you might have ADHD, please reach out to your doctor or mental health provider. This episode can be part of the journey towards finding relief, but please make sure you speak with someone who specializes in ADHD. If you have any thoughts about this episode, please share them with me via email at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. Thank you for helping us spread the word about executive function skills, and we really appreciate you sharing Focus Forward with your friends and your colleagues. Word of mouth keeps us on the air. please go to your favorite podcast listening app and rate us there, especially if you listen on Apple or Spotify. And you can also leave a written review or a comment on Spotify. You can sign up for our subscriber email at beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. A million thanks to Sean Potts, my editor and producer, to Tyler for joining me, and to Aaron Wong for connecting people who love executive function. Thanks for listening.